Creation Ministries presents Inspiration for You, the audio tape series designed for spiritual advancement. Let us begin with our topic. The Heart of Unity. My wife and I received God's gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, into our hearts within 10 days of each other, and we share a mutual testimony as to what the Lord has done in our lives. We now speak as one, because the Lord has given us perfect unity of spirit and purpose, creating a beautiful harmony of love and support for one another, never experienced prior to our new birth. All animosity and fault-finding has been removed from our hearts as the Lord, through His power, has given us victory over all of our sins. The Spirit of Christ has produced in us the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. We take no credit to ourselves for any of these traits of character, but give all the glory to our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His Spirit in our lives. We walk in His Spirit and abide in Him, and this is how His life is produced in us. You may be wondering how this life of Christ manifests itself in us in a real down-to-earth way. Here are a few of the changes it has made in our lives. Before Christ entered our home, we spent 4 or 5 hours in the evening watching television. Now that time is spent studying the Word of God and in prayer. My wife and I are able to communicate things of the Spirit to one another for the first time in our married life. Before, we ate and drank anything that pleased our appetite, coffee, tea, or an occasional glass of wine with our dinner. And we ate foods which the Lord had declared unclean. Now, we obey the Lord's rules of diet and are careful about what we put into our bodies. Diet and recreational time may seem trivial, but it's all a matter of complying with the known will of God. The Lord has given us perfect obedience to all of His laws. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Jude 24. My wife and I called ourselves Christians long before receiving the Lord into our hearts, and we faithfully attended a local church where we were taught that our salvation was assured by virtue of abstract, unrealized faith. The church had its standards, and we were taught a form of godliness, yet sin and worldliness was as evident in the lives of other members as it was in our own. We were taught about Christ, but not how to receive Him, nor make an end of sin in our own lives. Yet in accordance with our church's beliefs, we imagined ourselves as daily getting better, and someday, we assured each other, we would get the victory over every sin that we still continue to commit. Our church called itself Laodicea, for its members were weak and lifeless. In our hearts, we knew that none of us was really getting any better, and that the power of God was being denied with every occasional sin. Our despair with our own condition and that of our church was the subject of fervent prayer, for we began to realize that the hospital for sinners was really the pool of Bethesda, where the wishful and the crippled spend their time and their days hoping for the cure that never comes. His great mercy sent us the first angel's message of Jesus' own life in the believer, with the continual victory over every known sin, and we received it with gladness. Then, in the midst of our victorious experience, the second angel came with his urgent plea, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Revelation 18:4. The Lord did not call us out of His church, but into it. We left the pool of Bethesda to unite with the true body of Christ. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus, Revelation 14:12. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. 1 John 3:9. We are crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live, yet not us, but Christ liveth in us, and the life which we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Galatians 2:20. What is it like to belong to the body of Christ, where all sin has been vanquished? The fruit of the Spirit is quite evident in the church family. We always look forward with great joy to worshiping God and fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters on the seventh-day Sabbath. The meetings sometimes last the entire day. The hours pass too quickly as we sing songs of praise, worship God, pray, and give our testimonies. We never tire of being together, and we can hardly wait for another meeting together. This church family is made up of diverse personalities with varied backgrounds, but we have one spirit and one purpose. Because the living Christ dwells within each of us, we speak with one voice. We have perfect unity because we have the heart of unity, the Son of God. This unity is expressed in many ways. One way is through God's abounding love. We love one another and we show it. It is a real and genuine love, with unconditional acceptance of one another. We are not afraid of being rejected if we speak out with words that we feel the Lord has put in our hearts. We are truly a loving, close-knit family, and we act out this love on a daily basis. Because of our testimonies, we get involved with each other's battles to win sinners to Christ. We unite in the joy of praising and thanking the Lord for new souls won to His church. We enjoy peace the peace that Christ gives. We have been rejected and even persecuted by those who don't believe that Christ is living in us. Those who do not believe that Christ has cleansed us from all unrighteousness, and that because of His life in us, we do not commit willful sin anymore, since He is not the minister of sin, you know. When rejection and persecution come, it does not disturb us, for we have the peace of God, that peace which passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We find gentleness and goodness among our brothers and sisters, not only the adults, but even the children and youth as well. All, from the youngest to the eldest, participate in singing praises, offering prayer, and worshiping the Lord as one united family. Because we have the faith of Jesus, we always desire to do the Father's will. When God speaks to us through His Word or through the other members of His body, we obey. We do not quench the Spirit or draw back. If we are asked to fulfill a work for the church, we do it with cheerfulness. If we are asked to give our testimony to an unbeliever, we do it with boldness. We are the sheep, and the Lord is the shepherd. And when He speaks, we follow. We obey His commandments because we have His faith. We do not claim that sin has been removed from our lives by any power of our own. Our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Christ's life within has cast out our sin, and He keeps us. He keeps us in a way that we do not sin anew. The righteousness of Christ has cleansed us from all of our unrighteousness. The Lord stood at the door of our hearts and knocked, and we heard His voice and opened to let Him come in. We held nothing back. We surrendered all, that nothing might stand between us and Him. He is the number one priority in our lives. We would rather die than sin. We cannot sin because He lives in us, and He cannot sin. We give all praise and glory to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, for making all this possible for us. If you desire this new birth experience, you too must surrender all. Turn from your sins and invite the living Christ to take up residence in your heart. When you do this, He will give obedience for rebellion and righteousness for sin. And you too will be a tree of the Lord's planting, filled with the fruit of His Spirit. This experience will be in you the heart of unity. The conditions of receiving Christ as the fullness of your life are simply two. After, of course, your personal acceptance of Christ as your Savior through His shed blood and death as your substitute and sin bearer from the guilt and consequences of your sin. First, you must surrender absolutely and unconditionally to Christ as master of all you are and all that you have, telling God that you are now ready to have His whole will done in your entire life, at every point, no matter what it costs. And also, you must believe that God has set you wholly free from the law of sin, Romans 8:2. It is not that He will do this, but that He has done it. Upon this second step, the quiet act of faith, all now depends. Faith must believe God in entire absence of any feeling or evidence. For God's Word is safer, better, and surer than any evidence of His work. We are to say in blind, cold faith if need be, I know that my Lord Jesus is meeting all my needs now, even my need of faith, because His grace is sufficient for me. Remember that Christ Himself is better than any of His blessings. Better than the power, or the victory, or the service that He grants. Christ created spiritual power, but Christ is better than that power. He is God's best. He is God, and we may have this best. We may have Christ yielding to Him in such completeness and abandonment of self that it is no longer that we live, but that Christ liveth in us. There is only one life that wins, and that is the life of Jesus Christ. Every man, every woman, and even every child may have that sinless life. Every man, every woman, and even every child may live that sinless life. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. What a blessed promise! And as sure as it is blessed to everyone who believes. Think of the lust of the flesh. How all-pervading is it? How stern are its dictates? How oppressive its rule? How dismal is the slavery it lays upon man. Everybody has experienced it, longing to do the good that he would, yet doing only the evil that he hated. Having ever a will to do better, but how to perform it, finding not. Delighting in the law of God after the inward man, yet finding in his members another law, warring against the law of his mind, and bringing him into captivity to the law of sin, which is in his members, and at last crying out, O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Romans 7, 14 through 24. Thank the Lord, there is deliverance. It is found in Christ Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. Romans 7, 25 and Romans 8, 1 and 2. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, having made you free from the law of sin and death, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is not only deliverance from the bondage of corruption, there is also the glorious liberty of the children of God for every soul who receives the Spirit and walks in the Spirit. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Acts 3, 19 through 21. Inspiration for You is produced and distributed by Creation Ministries. Post Office Box 284, Spring City, Tennessee 37381-0284. The toll-free number for orders and information is 1-800-754-8021. May heaven's inspiration be eternally yours as you partake of the heart of unity.